What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast number 217, Creating a Life-Saving Army. This week, we have Miss Joelle Valerio. She is a community CPR manager in the Southwest affiliate with the American Heart Association, has been in the profession for 15 years. We're going to be talking about our large CPR event that we had. I just looked at the numbers, and we had over 400 of the pre- and post-tests done, which is part of the CPR in Schools program. But I know that there was quite a bit more kids than just the 400. And so we're going to talk about the event, how it went, what things we can improve, how you can do this at your school or your organization and teach students how to save a life. So I am Jeremy Jackson. Sitting right beside me, I've got
Daniela.
Oh. Tiana.
George.
Matthew.
And Shakira.
And then Ms. Joelle Valerio.
Hi, everybody.
All right. If you want to follow the conversation on Twitter, you can use hashtag the SMB, and that's where Marlin is over there. And sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. This episode is /lifesavers. sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/lifesavers, as we are creating an army of lifesavers here at Pasadena High School. Oops. All right. So we're going to get right to the deal. I have a link in the show notes of the YouTube video that kind of shows an overview of the whole deal. But essentially, we had 8 stations there. The students come in. They're already grouped. They go to their homeroom. They watch the video of the hands-only CPR. And then they kind of get an overview of what they're going to be doing that day. They come down. They start on one of the different 8 rotations. One of them is where they're performing CPR compressions. One of them is where they are applying and attaching an AED and applying and putting it on the person. Then another station, they learn conscious choking. So we do conscious choking on their friends, and then we do it with a mannequin called Choking Charlie. And then they get to use the infants. Then they rotate down and they hear. This year we had a lady, Michelle. She survived CPR. Somebody performed CPR to save her life. So she got to talk to the students and share her story. They get to meet with people in the medical field. So we had chiropractors and doctors and things like that. And then they got to talk to EMS to know what to expect when they call EMS. Then they had rescue vehicles. And the fire truck actually got to let the kids shoot the hose off. So that was pretty cool. Then they kind of rotate through and watch the people do the CPR compressions, and then they do it themselves again there. So that's the overview of the program. That's how we had it set up. You know, if we had more room, we would do more stations and that kind of thing. So without much further ado, we're going to get to Ms. Joelle. Why don't you go ahead and kind of give us your perspective, because you were here at the event for the first time.
Yes. So about a week ago, myself and a couple of other AHA volunteers, we assisted with a hands-on practice portion, and that's when students had the opportunity to put their CPR knowledge that they just learned into use. And what we did was we made sure they were using the correct form to do CPR, and we helped them put it together. Everything that they learned, they got to practice to the song Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, which is a great song to help them keep count to the compressions that they need to do. And I was really impressed by the scale of the event, and I found that the colored wristbands, that system really made sure everything rotated correctly, and it just worked out well. So we assigned 1 or 2 volunteers per row of students, again, just making sure that they were performing the skills correctly and giving them feedback and answering their questions throughout that training session. We also had a bilingual volunteer translate instructions into Spanish when needed.
All right. You would think at Pasadena, where we're 95% Hispanic, I would have maybe thought about that beforehand. But, I mean, they gotta learn English. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, but it's pretty, you know, they can see their friends doing it, and they can ask their friends. So that's probably something I need to plan for, is having it in Spanish. Do you know if the video is in Spanish?
It is. The video is bilingual, so Spanish speakers can definitely learn CPR skills by watching that DVD.
Okay. So I know that I had like that part of it. I had to upload it to our internet, our local or whatever it is, private internet, so that our students, so I could get it out to all of the teachers, because they were in, you know, 20 different, 30 different classrooms. So I had to do that, so we don't have to worry about DVDs and things like that. The first year we did it, we gave them out DVDs. Well, some of the DVDs we didn't get back, and some of them were like oh, I don't know. I'm not in, this isn't my classroom. I don't have a DVD player. I don't know how to make the thing work. And so we decided to make it an option where they can just download the video from, you know, our private thing and then play it from there. So for us, I think that's something that is very beneficial. Again, it was inside because, again, that first year I made the mistake of posting it on YouTube, mm-hmm. but it's not my video. So I actually got in trouble for posting it on YouTube. Oh. But, you know, that's my fault for not taking it down. Go ahead. So again, you know, I put that on there so that I had a backup and I had all my bases covered, but I should have taken it down, or I should have gotten permission first.
Understand.
or found something like that. So don't make the same mistake I did. All right. So, Michelle, why don't you say hello? We've already kind of started.
Hi, I'm Michelle Mason. Sorry I'm late. Traffic was pretty bad.
Yep. Coming from probably 45 minutes to an hour away on a good day. And then
yeah.
Get traffic in the morning. It's much, much further. So, all right, Michelle, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what your role is with American Heart Association.
So I'm Michelle Mason, and I'm the Director of Communications for the Gulf Coast Division of the American Heart Association. So the way that Houston is set up is we have downtown Houston, and then we have all of the suburbs. And so I do communications and marketing for all the suburbs.
All right. Very cool. So, Shakira, you were a volunteer. Did you go through the CPR thing our first year? Right, you're a junior, so that would have been...
My freshman year?
Yeah, your freshman year?
We did.
Did you go through it, or you were just helping?
I was helping.
All right. So talk a little bit about this year, just your perspective, things that you saw, things that went well, or, you know, maybe what some of the students have said afterwards. So
everything went smoother because, like, we had the wristbands, and, like, people, like, knew where to go by, like, color, and, like, we had the schedule that was good, too. And yeah.
All right. Good. Okay. All right, so that's all you got, Shakira?
Yeah.
You got to have more for me.
That's it.
No? Okay. All right. So, Tiana, you're a freshman. What are some of the things that your classmates were saying afterwards? Were they excited?
They were saying that it was pretty useful, that they learned a lot throughout the process. And, yeah, that's basically it. Like, they learned how to help someone if they were choking or something like that.
Okay. All right. Michelle, you were here on Thursday, or that the day we did the event?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, there was a lot going on. So what is kind of your take on the event, the overall event?
So I was part of the hero section. I was working a lot with Survivor that we secured. And I felt like it went pretty smooth, but I think that there was some kids that were really interested in what our survivor had to say, and there were some kids who weren't. I think that they really enjoyed being able to play a game. So we tried to get the kids to listen to her story to see how many times CPR had been performed on her and how many times she had gone into cardiac arrest. And then whoever won, we gave them the prize, which was the gym bag with the prizes inside. So I think incorporating more games like that next year will help them pay a little bit more attention, because I know coming to school and being there early in the morning, the last thing they want to do is listen to someone talk about their cardiac arrest. But that kind of helped a little bit make the flow go a little bit faster. But incorporating more games might be good next year.
Okay. And so I was really impressed with the story. And I know Michelle was really excited to be here. It was Michelle, right? Michelle or Melissa?
Melissa,
okay. Yeah, I kept getting confused because you and Melissa. And
two M names.
Yeah. And so Melissa was really excited to be here and sharing her story. And so I know that there's some changes we'll make. I think we'll try and put that group that you had into mm-hmm. a classroom.
Great, yeah.
And then it kind of controls them. It has them less distracted. And then, like you said, you know, especially if Melissa comes back, then she'll have an idea of kind of what to do. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah,
so
I think a classroom setting would be good because, you know, Melissa drove 2 hours from the Woodlands to be here. And, you know, this is the first time that she's ever really actually gotten to share her story in, like, a mass public setting like this. So she was super excited, and she really wants to make sure that the kiddos are getting CPR certified and understanding why it's important. Because if someone had known CPR with her, they could have immediately started bystander CPR. So she could have had better outcome. She had a really good outcome just because of how fast the paramedics worked on her, but she could have had a faster response time if she had had bystander CPR. So that's really important to her. And I think doing a classroom setting where it's a little bit quieter and it's easier to control the room would be good.
Right. So again, can you give me an overview of her story?
Yeah. So it actually happened about 9 months ago. So Melissa, she's a pet sitter, so she goes from house to house sitting for pets. And she wasn't feeling that great, kind of blew it off, didn't think that anything was going on with her. Well, she ended up having a cardiac arrest. She was home alone with some dogs that she was sitting on, and she actually didn't know that she was having a cardiac arrest. She just felt like her chest was really tight and she wasn't quite sure what was happening. So she drove herself to a standalone hospital. And when she got there, they told her that she had had a massive cardiac arrest and that she needed immediate surgery. Well, she ended up coding. And so they had to do CPR on her 3 times. She went into cardiac arrest 4 times. She died 3 times. And she had to be defibrillated 12 times. So that was the shock to the system with the AED machine. And so she was in the hospital for about 2 weeks. And pretty much the doctors told her that someone who has a cardiac arrest like that and has to have chest compressions for that long and the shocks is 12 times normally does not survive. But because she kind of felt that something might be wrong and she drove herself to the hospital, she kind of reduced the time that she, response time, and she was able to get the help that she needed. But she's just a really, really wonderful woman, and her story is one of those that I would say is truly a miracle, because like the doctor said, she shouldn't have survived that.
Yeah, driving yourself whenever you're having a heart attack, that doesn't sound very fun.
No. So.
All right. So we're just talking more about the event, and I think some of the things that, well, honestly, what's the Texas the law that requires students to be exposed? You guys know that? I should have looked it up, but
yes. So there is legislation that's been passed in Texas, which makes learning CPR a graduation requirement. So by the 12th grade year, students need to learn CPR in order to graduate from Texas high schools.
And what is the minimum for that requirement? Do you know it? Because from what I understood, it was they need to be exposed to CPR. That was the wording from what I understood. Is that correct?
I believe so. They don't have to get certified. They definitely just need to be taught the skills of CPR.
And so does that mean that they're supposed to be able to do the compressions, or they're just supposed to see it on a video?
No, they should actually be able to do the compressions. So that's why we definitely go through these mass trainings to make sure that they get a chance to practice and actually know how to do it. And the mannequins are a great way for them to practice, because they give them feedback to let the participant know that they're doing chest compressions deeply enough.
All right. So whenever, like I said, whenever we first tried it, it was 4 years ago. So 3 years we've been running this event. And 4 years ago, I was like, okay, well, all right, let me have this group of kids come down and I'm going to teach you how to do this. And then, you know, and it ended up me, one person, trying to teach like 30 or 40 kids how to do this stuff. And they were just kind of goofing off and they're like, no, this isn't going to work. So we kind of put all this together. And again, I had a lot of help from, John Schweitzer over at Pasadena Health Center. He donated eight sets of mannequins to the school district so we could perform this. And then, you know, Ross, like you said, they donated these mannequins. So now we have like over 100 mannequins to perform this. And we also have all the different rotations. So I didn't want to do just the minimum when we started this. And you know, like Shakira said, the first year we didn't have all the wristbands, but it was our first time doing it. We increased the station numbers, the colored wristbands, something they get to keep and take home and stuff like that. So what are some of the other things that Joelle, you feel could use some work?
Sure. Just to make it a more successful program overall.
Yes, ma'am.
Great, great question. With this mass CPR training here at Pasadena High School, we could probably have had more bilingual volunteers, definitely. Just to give better instructions or more clear instructions for the AED training station and choking relief. Additionally, we had the training in the gym, and we also had students waiting for their turn to participate. So it might have been a better idea to have the students actually performing CPR turned away from the students in the bleachers, just to prevent some distractions. Maybe we could have had like a show prep before the actual training, just with the volunteers, to make sure everybody understood where everything was happening and just make the flow a little smoother.
What do you mean by that?
We kind of just went for it. And maybe if we just practice a little bit beforehand, scenarios that came up, just ways to kind of keep more students engaged and, you know, on task, that might have helped a little bit. But overall, it was very successful.
So by having a, like, having you guys out a day before, or
maybe,
or
just getting beforehand, getting in a little bit earlier, just to kind of run through it, a scenario of what this training would look like. That might have helped just the volunteers kind of be a little more cohesive.
Okay. Go ahead, continue.
Okay, sure. One thing that would have definitely been great, we did have the BG song playing, Staying Alive, which is the great song to practice CPR too. Just if we had the audio system louder so that the song would really project, that would have been one great thing that we could have done.
Yeah, I know that halfway through I went and got the cable, and one of the things that I will definitely have next year is microphones, because Pam Tevis, our health and PE the person that works for the school district, she said, you know, she has some microphones, that portable microphones that I can use, and I just didn't even think about having like those bullhorns or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something I'll have, and then for each station so that they can not yell, because I know Jetty was doing fine for the first round or two, and then after that she was going hoarse. So.
Yeah, her voice was going out for sure. So if we definitely had her on a mic, that definitely would have helped.
All right. Shakira, what are your thoughts? Things that could have gone a little smoother or been improved? You don't know?
No, I don't know.
Nothing? Tiana, did you see anything? George, you were there too. Did you see anything that we could work on, improve, to make the event more successful?
I think the same thing like she said, the waiting area where they were watching, I think they were probably a little bit of a distraction to the people actually practicing on CPR. And also if we had like a 5-minute passing period, just like if we were like in classes, that way we could have a schedule of each person, like each group passing into another section or another group.
All right. Well, I can speak to that. The first time we did have a little passing period, and it ended up not working out well because it was too much time in between. And so when they're back to back, it just, you know, what I have is 20-minute sessions. Sometimes when they're teaching the compressions, it doesn't take 20 minutes to teach the compression. So they, you know, had to kind of fill that time with the first few times we were doing that or the other thing. So that's the reason we put it back to back to back, is to finish within that, before lunch, within that time frame. But what was the other thing you said, George?
The waiting. Like, you know how we had the projector, the backup? We could have used that for the waiting, and they could have watched the video on how to do CPR or what they would be doing.
Right. That's a good idea, but I was...
But that's also too much time. And.
Well, no, that's also the backup for number one, because station number one was where they were outside looking at rescue vehicles. Uh-huh. Well, if it ends up raining or storming or something like that, well, then I have absolutely nothing for them to do, so that's where I have that backup there. But I'll work on that. That's a good idea. And then... Joel or Michelle, do y'all, I don't know if you saw that, but do you think that my intention was that they see the CPR compressions being done, that they hear it, and then they go do it and they see it and hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not kind of like they were getting it two times in a row. What are your thoughts there on that? Is that a good idea? Bad?
I definitely think that's a good practice to have that, show the video, and then, you know, pretty much immediately after get into the compressions. And it's a great way to kind of set those skills in, so people remember them.
Okay. All right. I have, again, in the show notes, I'll have a link to the YouTube video, and then I'll also have a link to all of the materials that I use and created here at Pasadena High School to pull this event off. So if you wanted to go to that event, click on it, go to that podcast and see what I did. Again, you'd have to adapt it for your building, your use, whatever you're going to be doing there. But I'll have that there in the show notes, so it makes it a little easier to understand when you see the schedule and the map of the building and the rotations and all the other things that we do there. So, okay. So we've talked about things that we can work on, things that we can improve. Shakira, what are some of the things that went well?
It went well. The traffic flow, like, it wasn't like too packed, and it wasn't like everyone like running into each other, and it wasn't like confusing, like on where to go.
All right. Matthew, you weren't down here. Tiana, what do you think?
I actually think there was a lot of traffic.
Really?
Like, upstairs. I think that the time, what's it called? I don't know. Like, I guess people were letting out too early, and some were still teaching how to use the AED, and, like, things were just getting, like, real.
Congested upstairs?
Congested upstairs.
All right. So, George, you got something?
I think also another idea is to give like each group or like group leader, whoever was in charge in each station, that they would have like a walkie-talkie and say, all right, let's switch, time to switch.
So basically, like if there was a bell in the gym, yeah, or like you guys had a radio, I said, all right, we're rotating.
Yeah, because upstairs, they wouldn't be able to hear like a something in the gym.
Let me write that in there before I forget. Anything else, George?
I don't know.
Radio or... All right, so I'll tell you, I'll definitely look at that. All right, Michelle, Joelle, what are some of the things that you guys saw that you really liked?
I was stationed in the main area where everybody got together to do the chest compressions, and I just liked how the kids, you know, they were coming in right on time. So we had one group participating, the other group on standby waiting, and as soon as we got done with the training session, that next group was ready to go. So everything flowed very smoothly.
All right.
Well, one of the things that I actually really liked about the heroes portion was, you know, you would have a good group of kids who are really paying attention, and you have another group of kids who just weren't that interested in. But we had several teachers who would kind of reiterate everything that Melissa was saying and be like, did you hear that, guys? Did you hear what happened to her? And I really liked how engaged the teachers were, because it kind of perked the kids' ears up and helps them realize that this was something important that they needed to learn and they needed to pay attention to. So I think having a lot of teacher engagement next year during the heroes portion is a good thing.
All right. How do you think we could increase that? Because one of the things I actually talked to George and Shakira, both in our audio video class here, and I just talked to our audio video guy, is I'm going to send out a survey of the teachers that have performed life-saving skills in any form or fashion. And then I want to get them to go get like a, you know, 2-minute video of them saying, you know, I'm Jeremy Jackson, I performed this life-saving skill at this time, here was the outcome. You know, or I was at the mall, or I was at the, you know, outside at the track, that kind of thing. And then have them show those videos kind of throughout the course of the year so that they can see the people here working with them at this school are really using these skills that they're learning. So that's one of the things that I plan to do, or actually just started working on. And so what are some of the ways that you think we can incorporate more teacher engagement?
I think it's just kind of educating throughout the year. Maybe it's, you know, like you said, with the videos, maybe it's a way that you could plug in some survivors from the American Heart Association. We can get them to film a little, you know, 2-minute video or whatever, however long you want, saying, you know, I'm Melissa, I'm a survivor, telling a little bit about their story, and saying, you know, I really enjoyed this last year. It was really great to be able to share my story. And that's just kind of like a tool for the teachers to use throughout the year to get the kids excited and also get themselves excited about the mass training that will be coming up.
All right, so I'll get with you, maybe we can get that video, and then again I'll work with my students here filming and creating those videos, so that'll be a fun project for them. So this year we had our culinary department provide the breakfast tacos. Do you guys have any of those?
I didn't have any of those.
The donut holes?
I missed the tacos.
They were homemade donut holes. They were good. It was fried bread with glazing. Yeah, it was good. I took the leftovers home. Don't tell nobody. I felt that the kids were learning and engaged. Like if we, because I look at my first year when we did this, and there was most of the kids sitting in the stands, and there was only a couple kids that wanted to come down and try and do it. And then so once we had them all in rotations, broken up into smaller groups, I feel like, especially when I was upstairs with the choking, everybody was involved. Or when we're doing the CPR compressions, everybody is involved in doing the skills. And so, yes, when they're sitting and being lectured, then they might not be involved. But if I can take Michelle's idea and incorporate more games or more questions and like prizes for getting the right answer, or, you know, being able to repeat back what the speaker said, then maybe that's a way we can improve that there. But I felt like they were really involved. And American Heart Association, I think we had 10 volunteers, more or less.
Yes.
From, sounds about right. Yeah, from American Heart. And that made a huge difference. It made it so we could break the groups up into smaller, or give smaller instruction, more people, more hands-on, like you said, ensuring that they're doing proper position or proper mechanics when they're doing the compressions and those kind of things. So that was a huge help. And, you know, that came because I was contacting Jetty early and she had enough time to plan it. I felt the flow of traffic went well. I know there was a little bit of confusion, and there was, but I had good help with my students here. They would go and kind of communicate with each other, saying, hey, y'all are letting them out too early, or this or that kind of thing like that. Pasadena Health Center gave us plenty of prizes, and that was, you know, I still got plenty of stuff there here, and that was fun to give away, you know, that bag for the kids that were listening. Or you guys didn't see, but at the end of the day, whenever the kids were leaving, we had water bottles and koozies and stuff that they, if they wanted it, they could come grab it. Nice. You know, just as a kind of a, hey, thanks for being here participating. But I think we definitely had good interaction with the careers. You know, we had military, we had lifeguarding, we had physical therapy, chiropractor, nurses, and all sorts of different things just for the kids that were really interested in a medical career to be able to talk to. So, and then again, I get one of the things that was new this year is the fire truck. They came out and they let the kids spray the hose off, which was pretty cool. You know, the
kids love that.
Yeah, they just something that they don't ever get to do. So, having spraying that powerful hose, it was probably fun. So, all right, Ms. Joelle, why is American Heart Association doing the CPR in schools program?
Yes. So the mission of the AHA is to improve the overall cardiovascular health of all Americans and to reduce the risk of death from cardiovascular disease and stroke by 20%, and all of that by the year 2020. We're also one of the leaders in CPR training, and we, you know, we want to definitely be a resource for school districts to let them know about the legislation that's in place, and to serve as a resource to help them implement CPR trainings for their schools. And that's why we're doing this.
All right, Michelle, you have any other thoughts there?
You know, just going off of teaching more students the life-saving skills, you know, kids are the future. And with this new legislation, you know, we could potentially train over 1 million kids in life-saving skills of CPR and AED usage. And, you know, every day I talk to people who have performed bystander CPR or performed by bystander CPR, and even the cardiologists that we work with say that just by having bystander CPR skills and being able to perform that, you're able to triple or double the victim's chance of survival, which is a 50% chance of survival. So for cardiologists, that's what they like to see. Once they get by the time they get the patient, they want to make sure that they have gotten those chest compressions so that the oxygen has gone back into their heart and back into their brain. Because once you have a cardiac event or a heart attack, you know, chest compressions are important to make sure that the heart is working again. But doing the AED, getting that shock, is what's going to give them the oxygen back to their brain so that they don't have life-threatening brain injuries. So that's why it's so important, because you never know when someone's going to have a cardiac event. It could be at school. And we've had plenty of people who've had cardiac events in school, and kids were the ones who were able to save them. So that's why it's so important for us to have this education.
All right, so George, Kira, you guys are juniors. Do you think that the event last year where Eric died on the track had any impact on these new freshmen, because they weren't here at Pasadena High School last year? I know there were several times where I shared my story of where Doc and I performed CPR, you know, and it ended up he didn't survive, but we used the AED, performed CPR, performed rescue breaths. Matthew was out there, as you know, right there with us on the scene. Do you think that that had any impact on these students?
I feel like they would want to learn CPR after that event. Like, it would help them, because a lot of the football players could have helped because they saw him, but maybe they just thought he was like laying down because he was tired, and like they could have gone and checked on him and like done CPR maybe if like they didn't like feel him breathing. And yeah, I feel like that would have helped if people, like, more people knew CPR.
I feel that that event that happened, it was like to show us that we should be more knowledgeable of what we should do or what we can do for the next time it happens. And I feel like this event is helping us, for we wouldn't want it to happen, but if it does happen, we all know what to do, and we know that we should be learning CPR, and everyone knows how to deal with the situation, even though we might not be ready for that situation.
Well, I feel like that's kind of this, what Michelle was just saying, was that when they get to the ER, they want to know that something has been done. They want to know that some compressions have been done, something has been done. So, you know, I've talked about it in past episodes in 135 and number 190, where we kind of detailed the events, and basically, it was probably 2 minutes by that from the time that he fell before Doc got out there and started performing CPR. and then maybe another minute or so until we got the AED out there. So if, like you said, if they had known what to do, if they had known to go over there and check on him, then, you know, maybe it would have, you know, saved his life. Maybe not. We can't say yes, it would have. But, you know, like you said, just teaching them, training them, making them more confident. So.
Yeah, and I think confidence is the key. I mean, like I said, we talk to cardiologists all the time who, you know, and the first question that they always ask the paramedics is, how long was the person down before that they received chest compressions? Because it's so important. It's a key skill to save someone's life. And it's traumatic when someone has a cardiac event and you're the only person there. You know, it's scary, especially if you're a kid. You know, the last thing you want to do is hurt them, or you're unsure if you're going to be able to press hard enough. But that's why having the confidence and learning these skills over and over again every single year is going to help you when you actually are faced with that life-threatening situation, because you never know when it's going to happen to you. It could happen to yourself, or you could just be at the mall and someone could just drop down really quick. Being able to have that confidence to react quickly is what's going to save that person's life.
So go ahead.
And most cardiac arrests happen actually outside of the hospital, so that's why it's really important for bystanders to be educated in CPR skills, so that it's just automatic. If a cardiac arrest happens, they'll just go into it and help save a life.
Right. Yeah, I've told my story several times. I'm 35 years old. I've been CPR trained since I was 14. I was a freshman in high school, and I've never once performed any sort of life-saving skill. I've seen people do it. I've been beside somebody that was doing it, but I've never done it myself until last year. But even then, because I teach it every year, I teach it multiple times a year. I teach it to coaches. All these kids sitting right here are CPR certified. You know, we teach it in the mass CPR training. It was just kind of this is what we do. Like, it wasn't like a panic, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. It's just like, all right, well, let's just do this. You know, I grabbed the mask, I'm doing the breaths, you know, kind of telling people what they need to be doing. And it's just like, for about a second, you're like, oh, and then it just happened. So this event, we teach to freshmen. We do the freshmen. What are some ideas for doing it again as a sophomore or a junior? Because I don't know that we could pull this event off, you know, 3 days a year at this high school, kind of doing a refresh. So what are some ideas you guys have for doing a refresh of this event for the sophomores, juniors, seniors?
Maybe just show the video again, you know, take some time out of the day and just show the video again. And maybe just a smaller group of kids could practice on the mannequins, but to maybe just practice that throughout the year. You know, small groups at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea. I mean, we have even our staff members at AHA, you know, sometimes when we want a refresher, we just pull the DVD up and we practice on our Annie mannequins, the hands-only CPR compressions. And I've even done that. I did that yesterday with a couple of firefighters just to make sure that I was feeling confident in my skills.
All right. So, Shakira, do you feel like if, say, I was just to come to, I don't know, all the science classes over, you know, over the next 2 weeks and said, all right, hey, we're going to watch this video and perform the skills. Everybody, I just want you to do it real quick. Think that would help? Think that people would do it?
I think that would help because people would, like, refresh and, like, people remember doing the mass CPR training, but I don't think they remember, like, how to do it and, like, what they should do and, like, the steps to do it. And, yeah. And I feel like athletes should also, like, do what we do, not certainly get certified, but like get trained in CPR, like
over athletes. And over again.
Yeah,
because I know with my class and with my student athletic trainers that we do it over and over multiple times a year. Mm-hmm. Tiana's not in here, but Danielle, how many times do you think we've done CPR practicing throughout the year?
A lot of times.
What is that? Is a lot like four? Or is that like 50?
No. More than 50.
So yeah, like almost every week at the beginning of the year, it was like, all right, well, let's practice. Okay, yeah. Friday, all right, time to do CPR skills. So I think that's something I definitely need to look at. You know, we're going to create that video for the students, but I need to look at it a way to refresh and to keep them fresh as they get older and older. So you got to help me remember to do that, figure out a way to do that. Mm-hmm. All right, so I got the mannequins through a grant from Ross. Why don't you guys discuss how somebody else can apply and maybe some best things to do? Obviously, if they repeat what I do here, then there's probably going to be a very good chance where they could be awarded a grant, because it's a pretty big deal. It's not like I'm just training 20 or whatever kids. It's, you know, like I said, there's 431 post-test or pre and post-test that I just counted or just saw this morning, but I know that there was more than that number of kids. So discuss the grant.
Sure. So Pasadena High School was one of 350 grantees across the nation who received two CPR in schools kits, training kits, courtesy of our national CPR in schools sponsor, Ross Stores. So the Ross CPR in Schools grant, it was a competitive grant, and it's awarded to public high schools with 50% of their students being eligible for free or reduced lunch. And each school is required to train at least 200 students or one full grade level of students, whichever number is smaller. For those of you participating in the Ross grants, don't forget to submit your data by April 15th. That's just a reminder from our CPR in Schools manager, Jetty. And if your school is in need of CPR materials or implementation advice, please reach out to cprinschools@heart.org, cprinschools@heart.org, and you'll be connected to your local CPR in Schools manager, who can give you information on applying for a grant for your school.
All right. Any tips for making that more successful? Either of you?
I don't know. That would be out of my realm.
Yes. The CPR in Schools manager can give you all of the information that you need. So if you just email to that email address, cprinschools@heart.org, you'll get all the information you need about applying for the grant and what you need to do.
All right. Right. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about the event, about kind of what I did. Michelle, just tell me a little bit more about why you chose American Heart Association and why you do your job.
Well, it's kind of, for me, it's a personal level. So before I joined the American Heart Association, I was a television reporter and anchor. And I would get sent out to car accidents all the time where people would have very, very horrible injuries that I would witness. And it got to the point where there was people who would have such traumatic injuries from the car accidents that they would go into a heart attack or they'd go into a cardiac arrest. And none of them were getting the CPR necessary because drivers that were passing by in the highway didn't know how to perform it. So most of these people that I saw would die. And so that it really, really bothered me. And when I was a reporter, I started a series called Survivors. So every week I'd profile one survivor from that area who survived different things. And I kept hearing over and over again, you know, because of the American Heart Association, their life-saving funds and research, I'm here today. And so it kind of sparked a fire in me. And I'm married to a doctor, and he's always talked about the life-saving research of the American Heart Association. And so I really wanted to get more involved as a volunteer. And so I did. And then when the job position opened, I applied, never thinking I was going to get it. And I did. And it has just changed my life. It's opened up my eyes to so many things that the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association does, not only with just research, but providing the education in our school districts that we need to train the next generation of lifesavers. And so I just think it's a fantastic organization for everyone to get involved in. And whenever I can tell people to volunteer with us, I do. So.
All right, Ms. Joelle, same question.
Sure. My background is in cardiovascular sales. So it was kind of a natural progression to join the AHA. And just the fact that CPR is such an important skill for people to know, that was my interest in accepting this position and joining the organization, just to have the chance to really get the word out there about the importance of CPR and the fact that anybody can save a life if they take 20 minutes just to learn the skills. That definitely just inspired me, and I was fully committed at that point, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. I'm seeing so many different things every day. I'm doing so many different things in this job, and I'm just very honored to be part of this mission.
All right. So again, roughly 2,100 kids over the last 3 years, and next year, every student that has been completely through passing high school should have been through our CPR training. So after, you know, April, March, April, whatever next year, then every student at Pasadena High School will have performed CPR on the mannequin and done all these other life-saving skills. And so it's really cool for me to think about it that way, is that over the course of time, I've trained 2,800 kids. I mean, that doesn't include the student athletic trainers that I've trained. And Last year we had a student athletic trainer perform CPR on her grandma, who ended up not making it, but she was there with her. She did something.
Yes.
She was able to train. I've had students take action when they're in the mall and somebody's having a seizure and nobody else knew what to do, but because they were trained, they helped. Or there's most of the stories that I hear are, like you said, out in the community. They're not here. Because if it's here, they're going to call me or they're going to call Bill, you know, that kind of thing. But when they're at home, that's what I try to tell the kids all the time. When you're at home, when you're walking home, you know, you may see somebody mowing a yard and then just fall out, and then you can at least do something, you know, to call and begin CPR, that kind of thing. And so it's really, for me, important to continue to teach, even though I probably will never see the majority of the uses of this, but just to continue to teach it and give people the opportunity to save a life. So
you're training the next generation of lifesavers.
Exactly. So we're creating a life-saving army. So, and again, thanks to you guys, American Heart, for everything you're doing, to all the volunteers, the Pasadena ISD Education Foundation that donated the AED trainers, because it really makes a difference whenever I just say, okay, put your hands where the pad should go, or when I say, okay, we'll take the pad, turn the machine on, you know, and they get to hear it and see it. It's a huge difference with the AED trainers and then the mannequins. Again, obviously, it's kind of not useless, but it's very different pretending to perform compressions or using the mannequins that you guys donated. So any final parting thoughts from anybody about the CPR Schools program, about the event that we had here, or getting mannequins at your school?
This is my first experience seeing a mass training with students. So I was thrilled to see that happen. And I thought it was a great program. Everyone was relatively engaged, and I know they walked away learning something. And I, you know, unfortunately, if something happens out there and they witness a cardiac arrest, I definitely think that this group of students would be willing to step up and perform CPR. So that made the difference for me.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with Joelle. I mean, I think that this is fantastic. I would love to see a lot of the other school districts and other suburban areas do this, especially ones that are larger, because we hear about these stories all the time about people having cardiac events inside schools. And, you know, just being able to train more kids and looking at Pasadena High School and what you're doing here as an example, I think is something that I would just love to pass on to some of the other districts.
Yep. All right. The resources are out there.
Yep, resources are out there. All right, so give us one more time. You said CPR in schools at heart.org, and that was for the grant?
Yes.
But that's the same email that they could use to just get more information in general?
Yes. If they email CPR in schools at heart.org, they will be connected to the CPR in schools manager for their school district, wherever that may be across the nation. So that's the email to get started. And once, you know, they send that email, they'll be contacted and sent in the right direction for more information.
All right. Shakira, George, Matthew, you guys, any parting thoughts on the training?
Well, I have a question. For us, like, high school students, is there any, like, volunteer opportunities that we could, like, take place in that y'all offer?
I'm sure there are. I will leave my contact information for you, and I'll get you to the right person, but thank you for stepping up and asking about that. We definitely need more volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, we have tons of events throughout the year. You know, the fall is our Heart Walk season, so we have 5 Heart Walks across the Houston area. We're constantly looking for volunteers to help us on site, you know, just making sure that people get T-shirts, are educated about American Heart Association. And, you know, as well, we're just looking for people just to kind of help out with heavy lifting and just making sure that we have that manpower. We have several CPR events where we've brought high school kids before to help us just pass out T-shirts and pass out CPR kits. So we always have opportunities like that.
Mm-hmm. We have lots of events coming up in early fall, so we'll definitely be counting on you.
Okay.
All right, very cool. Well, one of the people that I partner with on the Sports Medicine Broadcast, sportshealth.com/SMB, where you can register to get a gift card. Israel Montano won the most recent. He's won 2 already, so that's pretty cool. He's if you go to sportshealth.com/SMB, and type in the word FRIO for April or LifePod for May. Those are the keywords. So FRIO is my friend Robbie. Mm-hmm. We're at FRIO Hydration. We've got our new unit that we're just waiting to use. And make sure you tell them if you go to buy one that you heard about it on the sports medicine broadcast, and it'll give you a special deal there. This again is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/lifesavers. That's where I'll have the link to the YouTube video, link to the whole folder, and then you can just take and do what you want with it. Or you can email me, and ask me any questions there. So on Twitter, I'm PHS Sports Med, and definitely I would love to help make this happen at your school, at all the schools, so that everybody is learning CPR. So for Jeremy,
Daniela,
George,
Matthew, and Shakira,
Miss
Joelle,
and
Michelle,
that is a wrap. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast number 217, creating a CPR. Wait, I hate when I do that. See, I was about to turn my phone, the ringer off, so it wouldn't ring. Let me do that before I forget. And then we'll just start again.